Welcome to WrestleWolf. I have to keep it down a little bit because I actually think there might be someone in my apartment, but I don't have any other time to record. So, today we're going to be reviewing Impact Wrestling's No Surrender from last Friday. I'm just going to go check on that sound. Let's get into it. So, quick episode's a good episode, gang. We're going to talk about Impact on this episode. Now, Impact are a weird... they're a weird entity. They're now the third biggest promotion in the States. They may get knocked down to fourth if you count Ring of Honor, and we'll see what happens with Honor Club and stuff. Supposedly the TV ratings are around 100,000-150,000 each week, which in a country like Australia would be fantastic figures. In a country like America, not so much. But I've consistently, the whole time that WrestleWolf has been going, I've consistently spoken about how I think they do really well with very little. And I don't mean that to demean anyone who's on the roster. I just mean in the sense of, like, you know, production values aren't anywhere near as big as AEW, let alone WWE. So there's only so much that they can do. I think there were some examples on this pay-per-view of how sometimes that can work to their advantage. But then there's also examples of where it really does work against them. Let's just get straight into it. The show started with Santino Marella. So Santino Marella from WWE, the Cobra, all that sort of thing. If you don't know him, look it up. He was one of my favorite comedic wrestlers in WWE. I think he did the WWE comedy wrestling really, really well. He did absolutely everything that was ever asked of him in that promotion. And then I think it must have been 5-6 years ago, maybe 7 or 8, since he's been... He got his marching papers, and I haven't really seen him do much in wrestling since then. I don't know whether maybe he was doing a production role backstage or something along those lines. I think maybe I heard something like that. Anyway, I shouldn't be talking about things that I don't know for sure. He's been off my radar for 5-6 years and has reappeared in Impact. And I think having an authority figure is good for a show like this because it moves things along. Scott D'Amore, for the longest time, was the authority figure, did that during the pandemic era, is one of the main dudes at Impact, so I'm not sure if he's just having a little holiday and has got Santino Marella to replace him, or he's just going to do stuff backstage and Santino will be on air. Not sure. I mean, it's a bit of a shame because Scott D'Amore is maybe the best on-screen presence in Impact. So anyway, the show starts with Santino bringing some comedy to the show, which falls a little flat, but he's trying really hard, and it does get the crowd up and about. There is a half-decent crowd here in Las Vegas, I'd say maybe 600, 750 people, maybe a little bit big, could even be 1,000. Although, if you're comparing that to the New Japan Strong Show, absolutely not 1,000, maybe 600. But they're definitely into it. And the first match is Frankie Kazarian versus Khan from The Design. I like The Design. So Violent by Design was this was the faction before this, and now they're just called The Design. And there's a running story about Sami Callihan, who's now just called Callihan, joining The Design. I just wonder if there's like some sort of very sly digs at WWE here with like the single names and it being very cultish. And there's always, I mean, need I remind you guys that the Dark Order was a kind of spooky cult-like faction that was sort of taking the piss out of WWE and equating WWE to a cult. And now we've got the design in Impact where I think the same thing might be happening. And Anthony Angels is in both. So there you go. This was a solid match. It turned when Callahan was trying to hit Kazarian with a chair and hit Khan instead. Khan! Which leads to an angry exchange between the design and Callahan while Kaz stands tall. 2.75 stars here. The match didn't really run long enough to warrant a higher rating. I think everybody who was involved in this was doing quality stuff, but this was... this could have been on a weekly show. You know, it was good that Kaz got to win on a pay-per-view, but nothing really special happening here. We get a promo, Brian Myers saying that he hopes Moose humiliates Joe Henry because Brian Myers and Matt Cardona, who are best mates, have been having some run-ins with Joe Henry, who is the best thing in Impact at the moment. Then we get another promo saying the Hex, showing the Hex attacking the Death Dolls from behind at the behest of Father James Mitchell. NWA mentioned, which is interesting. Impact do that a lot. They've got a partnership with New Japan. They mention AEW. They mention NWA. I get very excited when I see that collaboration happening between the promotions because I think it's really important. It's what used to happen before the McMahons got involved in the industry. And I think as soon as we see the back of any sort of McMahonian practice in the wrestling industry, it will be a good day. So it was nice to see NWA get mentioned. There are a couple little things I just wanted to mention here. The next match was the Impact Women's Tag Championship match between the Death Dolls and the Hex, which had been set up. There were sound issues here. It sounded like someone was riding the faders. The volume was going up and down. And also there was a squeaky ring rope that if you were watching this show on headphones or even just through speakers, went the whole pay-per-view. And if you're at any end of the spectrum, it was causing a lot of issues. So anyway... and it was lasting for the whole pay-per-view. These things need to be fixed if Impact's ever going to continue to, like, not to continue. I mean, I wrote to continue in my notes. It's being a little harsh. But if they're ever going to get bigger than what they are right now, those things need to be, they're small things that can be fixed. Sound issues can be checked and fixed beforehand. But something like a squeaky ring, that absolutely can be fixed. I mean, sound issues can happen, I suppose. But a squeaky ring, just get some WD-40, put some grease in there. Anyway, I really like Jessica of the Death Doll. She reminds me of an 80s brute brawler, like a George Animal Steel or Bam Bam Bigelow. We skipped the Shine here, went straight to the Heat for the Hex, with quite a few hope spots for Jessica, really trying to build her up as a fan favorite. Taya Valkyrie comes in now for the comeback. She gets a pinch of offense in, and then hits a power bomb on Allison Kay. She tags Jessica back in, who gets the death bomb on Marty Bell and the 1-2-3, and they are still your Impact Women's Tag Champions. This match was quite good. I think I'll give this a 2.75 stars out of 5 as well. You know, above average, which I know sounds quite condescending, but it didn't. We were just warming up here. Good solid opening matches for the pay-per-view. We get a promo. It's the history of Joe Hendry over the last couple of months. He's being a smart ass and getting under the skin of Moose and Matt Cardona. Moose has lost to Hendry once for the digital championship, but has challenged him again this evening at No Surrender. So the next match is the Impact Digital Championship, Joe Hendry versus Moose in what was called a digital, was it like a digital hardcore match or something along those lines? Hendry is over big time. And I, you know, I don't like talking this way when I'm doing a review of Impact shows because they're doing the best they can. But it's only a matter of time before Impact lose Joe Hendry to somebody. I think it would more likely be WWE than AEW. I feel like his body type and his gimmick is more of a mid-card WWE guy. I think he's more talented than that. And I would hope that Tony Khan would take a punt on someone like Joe Hendry, but you would need to allow him to do what he does. You had a lot of people, you know, and I bring this example up a lot, but, you know, you have someone like Danhausen get signed to AEW and we've barely seen him. I mean, we see him a lot, but we don't hear him talk. We don't know his gimmicks. We don't, you know, it's just like this weird little ghoulish wrestler hanging around with Orange Cassidy. You couldn't do that with Joe Hendry. You would need to hear him talk. You'd need to allow him to cut promos. Otherwise, he's just another muscly, handsome guy. I thought initially there might be a slight heel turn here for Joe Hendry. Yeah, was completely wrong. Moose comes out. He looks amazing. He has done very little to appeal to me. I've been watching Impact basically, you know, I'll put my hand on my heart. I hadn't watched Impact for years. And then when Kenny Omega came across to Impact and was on Impact and Dynamite during the pandemic era, I started watching Impact. And after Kenny left and Christian Cage left and everybody went back to AEW, I continued to watch. And Moose has been pushed. He's probably the wrestler who's been pushed the most besides Josh Alexander in that time in the last 2 years. And I don't, I can see he's trying really hard. I can see he's doing all the things that he needs to do, even working a mid-card segment with Joe Hendry here to put Joe Hendry over. But I, you know, maybe he could do something at WWE. Definitely size-wise he could, but they've got so many big dudes over there as it is anyway. And unlike a Joe Hendry who can talk, Moose is not great on the mic. And when you think, like, you've got Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar, Omos, the list goes on and on and on and on. Like, you know, even guys like, I mean, Bray Wyatt's a big dude as well, but even guys who are, like, lower mid-carders, like the guy with the guitar, it's on the tip of my tongue. You know, like, there's just too many other people who are Moose's size. So I don't know, unless you could put him together with a Paul Heyman or something like that. But I mean, he's got Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is a big dude. So anyway, I did enjoy this match a lot though, and I thought Moose was a big part of that. Having said that, Moose jumps Hendry straight away when he gets in the ring. He's angry from all the teasing by Hendry. It's a .com match, sorry, is what I was trying to think of earlier, which means no DQ apparently, but also that most of the stuff that Joe Hendry will find under the ring is hilariously related to tech in some shape or form. So Moose flips Hendry the bird. Hendry goes out of the ring and pulls out a Sega Dreamcast from nowhere and flips the lid at Moose and then hits him with it, which there was a part of me that's like, Dreamcasts are kind of hard to get your hands on these days, and I wouldn't be just like using them like that. Moose is put in the corner where Joe Hendry pulls out a remote control car to drive into Moose. First of all, he has a little remote control car that doesn't work. So then he pulls out a bigger remote control car, which he drives at Joe Hendry. But there's no batteries in the controller. So he picks up the car and throws it at Moose's dick. Moose reverses an elbow after this for the heat. So he's starting to get his villainous heat He puts Hendry down and then pulls out a bag of keyboard caps and dumps them on the map because it's a dot-com match. Hendry gets a hope spot reversal, slams Moose into the caps, and then he goes and gets a virtual reality headset. Now, for me, this is a point where I know a lot of people would be lost and would be like, this is fucking ridiculous. I'm not watching the rest of this. My attitude with pro wrestling at all times is pro wrestling is insane. Everything about it is insane, beautifully insane, but insane nonetheless. So if you're jumping out because Joe Hendry has put a virtual headset on Moose, which is showing him beautiful ladies at the club, and now Moose is dancing, and you don't like that, well, I don't know what to say to you, because I thought it was genius. And Moose starts dancing, as I said, and then we see on the big screen what Moose is seeing, and then all of a sudden, the song that Joe Hendry made a little while ago about the dancing Moose comes on the headset, which we are now seeing as well. Are you still with me? Great. And then he gets super angry, and this is where Hendry picks his moment, slams Moose into a pole, and then gets the 1, 2, 3. This match was pure fun. And there was a part of me that was like, I almost feel like this is the direction that Impact should go almost entirely. You know, I mean, the heavyweight belt you want to keep clean, you know, you want to make that a proper wrestling belt. But I would be doing a lot more of this stuff if I was Impact, because it's the kind of stuff that people will watch. I actually, you know, I'm hearing a lot of negative sort of talk about AEW at the moment, which I don't really agree with at all. But I think, you know, you've got maybe 3-4 generations of people who've been brought up on really dumbed down Vince McMahon storytelling, where you have to have 15 minutes of exposition before a match so everybody knows why they're fighting each other. Which, to be fair, does allow for performers to show their personality a little bit more if they're allowed to by the boys in the back. Anyway, that's a criticism. That is I don't think it's a particularly valid one, but it is a criticism that people have of AEW. So why not do what people seem to want, which is more story-based stuff, more promos, more fun matches like this, and be that point of difference. Allow the wrestlers to really do what they want to do, but to tell more of a story than what is supposedly being told in AEW, even though I think there's a lot of stories being told in AEW. Next up, we get a promo. Mickie James is putting herself over a bunch of young wrestlers again. And then we get a promo between Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer. Oh, actually, I forgot to give the star rating for that match. I gave it 4 stars. I just thought it was super, super fun. And Joe Hendry is Impact's biggest star. As much as they want it to be Josh Alexander, I think it's Joe Hendry. Next up, we get a really interesting segment. It's another segment that I really enjoyed. It's a live Busted Open Radio. David LaGreca comes out and says that SiriusXM and Impact have asked him to come and host a discussion between Bully Ray and Tommy Dreamer because it's costing both businesses money, their relationship being so fractured. Tommy Dreamer comes out first. Now, I'm just going to preface my comments about this promo. I'm not really a massive fan of either of these guys. You know, I don't hate them. I don't think they're bad. They've just never really been guys who have been my guys, you know. Even in ECW, Tommy Dreamer was never really my guy. I was more of a Raven dude. You know, I mean, Tommy's great and he did great stuff. I was never really a 3D. Like, I was never a Bully Ray or Devon guy. But this was testament to having people on a roster who are talented, but more importantly, experienced. I think we're very quick to want to throw people out the door in this industry, especially once they sort of get to a point where they start looking a little bit older. This promo showed what you can do with older performers. And they're not that old. They're in their 50s, maybe late 40s, even though they might be a little bit younger. But they're around Jericho's age, I would say. Maybe early 50s, mid-50s. Tommy Dreamer comes out first. So the essentially David LaGreca says that both of these guys are going to get a minute to talk and the other one has to shut the fuck up. Bully Ray comes out. Lars Fredrickson from Rancid is in the crowd, and he's one of CM Punk's best mates. Just putting that out there. He's also a massive wrestling fan, so it doesn't mean anything. I just thought it was interesting. CM Punk will be back at Revolution tomorrow. Bully Ray can speak first. He says nothing for ages, and then he says he's sorry. So he's done a lot of things recently that have been really bad towards Tommy Dreamer. Tommy's having none of it. He just is like, no, I don't believe you, blah, blah, talks for a minute. And then Bully basically says, listen, can we stop these minute speeches? I just want to talk. Like, can we just talk? And LaGreca and Tommy allow it. Bully goes through this long speech about how he loves Tommy and he doesn't want to have something happen to either of them. He even brings up Scott Hall passing away and how Kevin Nash, you know, is so upset about not having his buddy around and that he feels like he and Tommy are like that. And if something was to happen to Tommy and they weren't talking, he'd never forgive himself. You know, if one of them died and they weren't on speaking terms, he'd hate it. Tommy doesn't accept the apology, but he says he's proud of Bully because he knows it's hard for someone like him to say what he says. So, like, I'm not going to accept the apology. Fine. You know, like, whatever. Great. It was really big of you to say that, but let's just go our separate ways. And then Bully picks up Tommy's hot coffee that's been sitting there the whole time and throws it in his face and beats the absolute living shit out of Tommy and leaves. And while he's beating the shit out of him, he says, someone like me. I thought this was, it's probably something that could have been on weekly TV, but I like the fact that it's been put on the pay-per-view. It makes it feel more important. You know, it makes it feel like these guys are big stars, you know, that they're having this discussion on a pay-per-view. Like, that's big. So 3.75 stars for me for this. I thought it was really fun. We get a promo. Rich Swann says that Josh Alexander is his friend, but he will beat him for his championship. Steve Macklin interrupts and says he's rooting for Swann because he wants to beat him at Rebellion, which is the next pay-per-view. Next up, we get a number one contendership match between Steve Macklin, Brian Myers, Heath, and PCO. Initially, they all attack PCO because he's the biggest guy in the ring. PCO does a shooting star press backwards off the top rope, and that kind of sets the tone for this match. Myers and Macklin dump PCO on the ramp, and it looked like it hurt. This was a good fatal four-way. PCO looks strong with the Eddie Edwards interference. So Eddie Edwards came down and interfered to sort of protect PCO a little bit. Steve Macklin gets the win, and I think they've done a pretty good job of making him look like he deserves this spot. They've pushed him for a while now. He looks like a star. Like, he looks like a wrestler. He looks like more of a star in Impact than he ever did back in WWE. And then Trey Miguel comes out and complains that he's not on the card and that he isn't respected by the Impact suits. He says he can take anyone on, like PCO, but it looks like somebody already took care of that. And of course, PCO comes back from the dead because that's what PCO does. Grabs Miguel in a chokehold and slams him onto the ring apron and walks off. I thought all of this was really good. It sounds like the Trey Miguel spot was tacked on a little bit, but they did a good job of like it making sense. So I'm going to give this 3.5 stars. Next up, we had Kushida and the Motor City Machine Guns, or Time Machine, versus Kenta and Bay and Austin. Cool to see Kenta and Kushida kick this match off. The guns really get your attention more than other tag teams do because they do so many things in tandem. Humans love to watch synchronic action, you know, stuff where people are doing things in sync. And, you know, the machine guns really, really do that really well. There's a really long shine here for the Time Machine, and so the good guys were on top early for a really long time. Shelley did some finger work that looked very painful and real on Ace Austin. Austin sold it really well for the rest of the match as well. Yeah, I say the Shine, but the Time Machine are the away team. Chris Bay's from Las Vegas, and they're getting very much a hometown reaction. So they're doing sort of heelish shortcuts, like Time Machine are, that is. The Heat's next, and it's led by Kenta until Kushida gets Saban in the ring for the comeback. Saban accidentally knocks out his teammates. Kenta does the stomp and gets 2.5 count, but Bay holds Shelley while Austin rolls up Saban for the 3 count. So, Bullet Club get the win here. I think that's probably because Kenta's on the card. This match was great. 3.5 stars. Really enjoyed it. And we were having a really... The momentum in the pay-per-view was really good. Then we had a promo. Mickie James talks about how much she enjoys burying young talent. We have the women's belt where Mickie James is up against Slamovich. So the comms guys, who are great, by the way, set up that she must have a dominant... So they're setting up that Mickie James must have a dominant win to legitimize her belt win. And I get why they're doing that, because she didn't win against Jordan Grace thoroughly, but she did beat essentially the whole women's division to get there. So 14 straight wins over the whole roster wasn't enough. And then on top of that, besides the sort of bad storytelling that's happening here, the match was slow. Mickie keeps doing these roundhouse waist kicks that are barely touching Slamovich. Mickie gets another win and continues to waste our time when there's serious talent on the women's roster that we'd all rather see. 1.5 stars. We get a promo all about Rich Swann's redemption from letting the Impact belt go to AEW and losing to Kenny Omega. Even though I really want to see this match between Rich Swann and Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship, there is a respectful calmness in the crowd due to a short story and a babyface versus babyface match. It kind of felt a little tacked on to me. It was like a 3-week story run where, you know, Rich Swann gets the opportunity to be the number one contender, and then the story is we really like each other and respect each other. And then there was sort of some late minute storytelling of like, oh, Rich Swann won't shake Josh Alexander's hand until after the match. There are ways to do babyface babyface championship matches. This probably is not a great example of it. It's not the worst example, but it wasn't blowing me away. And I think we all knew that Josh Alexander was going to win, which he did. The in-ring work was great. It's a good match. It's a 3.25 star match. But Josh Alexander, when he was in a storyline with Bully Ray, I was interested. Now, I don't want Bully Ray winning the Impact Championship. I really don't. I think that could be a death knell for the company if he was to do that, because anyone who's not watching the show would be like, oh, Impact's over, Bully Ray's the champion. But what did happen when he was the heel going up against Josh Alexander is the promos were great. Josh Alexander lifted his game. Not that Josh is bad, he's great. But, you know, when you're working with a legend and someone that you respect, everybody's on, you know, lifts their game a little bit. And Josh Alexander and Rich Swann have done a lot of work together, so this would have just felt like another day at the office. And that's kind of how it felt as a viewer as well. It's like, oh, I'm just punching my card here and then we move on. So, I mean, I think all up, I'd give the pay-per-view 3.5 stars out of 5. It was, as always with Impact, really solid. I find myself enjoying it more than I think I will. It's probably a touch too long. I mean, it was 3.5 hours for a roster that is not that stacked. I think you could probably cut that down by half an hour, maybe even an hour. But ultimately, all the matches were pretty well thought out. A lot of good action. The crowd was, even though it's not the biggest crowd on earth, it was a bigger crowd for Impact, and they were definitely up and about and had been watching the product and was interested. I think the New Japan crossover is doing wonders for Impact in terms of viewership. I think there's a lot of people who are into Japanese wrestling now and seeing those guys regularly in Impact. I mean, if you're going to have guys like Kushida and Kenta on your pay-per-view, people are going to tune in. So I suppose that's all really Impact can keep doing and hope that they continue to develop this young talent like Bay, Austin, Trey Miguel, and that can kind of, speedball, have those guys kind of try and bring more eyeballs to the product. But look, I would definitely say this. Impact's pay-per-views are cheaper than most other promotions' pay-per-views. They're like $15 Australian, which I think ends up being about $9 American. Just buy it. Just buy it, support them, keep wrestlers in work, and you won't be disappointed. You know, it's a nice, easy way to spend a Saturday or Sunday afternoon or evening. You know, it's on Fight TV, super easy. Next pay-per-view that I will be covering on WrestleWolf is AEW Revolution. I cannot convey to you guys how excited I am about this. I think there's going to be some big returns. I think Punk will be back. I think Adam Cole will be back. I mean, he has said he will be back at Revolution. I think FTR will reappear. I think there's going to be a lot of critical voices that will be silenced tomorrow. I think it'll be a big crowd. I think the matches will be sensational. And I think this will be the start of a really hot six-month run for AEW. So, be interested to see what happens. You know, whether I'm correct. I may not be, not always, but I usually am. And, be really, really cool to cover that. So that episode will come out later in the week. But, if you haven't checked out... if you haven't checked out No Surrender, just grab it. Just grab it and check it out. This could be a starting point for Impact. They do good work. They do good work. There's some good wrestling on there. It's fun. And we could all do with a little bit more fun in our lives, you know? Anyway, thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, guys. If you want to help out a little bit more, you can do that by subscribing in your podcast player, or following in Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rating and reviewing us. Even if you just rate us in Spotify, give us 5 stars in there, that picks us up in the algorithm and shoots us off into fame and fortune. But until next time, brother dudes, enjoy your wrestling. I'll talk to you soon.